Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your 1973 podcast. The only podcast that knows when it comes down to making out, you put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4. So let's get into it. So, as we start this podcast, it's episode 99, representing the Great One. So, this will be the Great One podcast. So, here we go. Ed, one
Yes, sir.
watch. Everybody
All
knows the
right,
rules. Let's
since
get
this
into
is
it. I
the
cannot wait to deep dive into this movie. Take it away,
well,
Ed.
since this is the Wayne Gretzky episode, also known as the Great One, that's Brad, that's for you, bud. Just in case
Yeah.
you didn't know that what who 99 was, just for an FYI,
He's
okay?
Googling it right now.
All right,
Yeah, I'm
okay.
looking
Well,
it
hey,
up.
the miracles of modern science, okay? All right, hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready for show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and timeless styles you crave, perfect for lounging around or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, "Don't be cheap, buy a shirt." Visit us now at bonfire.com. Grab your favorites before they're gone. And then also check out our t-shirts at the 1973 Podcast t-shirt store on YouTube. Just click the link below. All right. So first, for the movie this week is one of the best movies, in my opinion, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I'm going to hand it off.
Ed, why don't you start? You already got the floor. Take it
All
away.
right. Well, I'm going to have to say, does it check the boxes of the criteria? Is it quotable? Absolutely. All right. Are there memorable scenes? Absolutely. The cast was fantastic. My personal favorite character of the whole movie is Spicoli. He is the essence, and how it ends with, he saves Brooke Shields' life and he hires Van Halen to play at his birthday. And just all the scenes, like the scene, like there's just so many great scenes, almost kind of vignettes kind of thing. Just a great movie, entertaining. Does it stand up against the test of time? Yeah, for the most part, it does. Certain things are a little dated, but for the most part, it kind of seemed like most, it kind of reminds you of high school a little bit. And so I thought it was a great movie. I'm gonna give it an 8.6.
All right, well, I'm going to kick it to the Phantom because it was his pick. Ed was rolling. He was on a roll, so I just let him have it. Phantom, your pick. Take it away. It's a movie that's very near and dear.
Oh, so good. So good. When you hear the cars moving in stereo, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
BB
Kids jumping out, climbing out
Cakes,
of the
baby.
pool. Can't beat it. I mean, it's like definitely a coming to age kind of a movie. As watching it when we were like, I haven't seen that at the theater. What that's like once we got like HBO, that one was circled for the boobies and all that. So you probably watched it 25 times by the time you were 18 years old. But you kind of you learned a lot of stuff when you were watching it. It was kind of like they were introducing you into the drugs. Like they introduced you into the quick nut. The girls are showing you how to fucking suck dick. Like it's got everything in it. It's crazy. Even had the abortion stuff. Like even before you even kind of knew what it was, which is probably like if they put that in a movie now, it'd be they'd be breaking the glass. But no, definitely one of my all-time favorite comedies. It's I'm going 8.9.
All right, Bradford,
Before we
the
go,
young.
before we kick it to Brad, Ryan, favorite character of the movie?
You know you gotta say Damone. If you don't say Damone,
No, I'm not gonna say Jamal. I'll have to go Brad. Brad brings the comedy. Spicoli would be easy. Everybody loves him, but if I had to go different, I'm going Brad. Brad killed it with him.
Speaking of going with Brad, take it away.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I don't think it's great. As some great moments, the Phoebe Cates moment, Spicoli, all his quotes and everything. It's a good movie. It's a coming of age flick. Like, Those are kind of a dime a dozen back then. It's quotable, and it's not just quotable with guys and amongst friends. It's quotable across all kinds of movies. You can just rattle off a slew of movies that have like quoted or kind of stole the same ideas. National Lampoon's, for example, has a lot of pool scenes of Christie Brinkley coming out. Like, where do you think they got that from? It's all for Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I love the movie. It is in my top like 20 list. It's not like one of my favorites. I wouldn't like go out of my way to watch it. It is a great movie. We're talking beforehand. It was supposed to be like an NC-17 or rated X, but there was supposed to be like a scene with Damone showing full frontal male nudity, which was apparently a no-go back then. So they cut that scene, thank goodness, and gave it a rated R. Great soundtrack, just great all around. The movie is, it was great. It's a good movie. It's not, it's definitely, I put like movies like Dazed and Confused above, Fast Times. Like, great coming of age movie. I don't know. It is what it is, man. I think movies like Kids, again, a little higher than Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I do feel like Spicoli's character, got a little campy. The whole theme of the movie gets a little campy. Sean Penn gets on my last fucking nerve. And the fact that he was so committed to method acting when he started out in this movie that he stayed in character of Spicoli through the whole filming process, that just like rubs me the wrong way. And I can't stand Sean Penn. He's like typical Hollywood, like trash activist, give me a break, man. I do like that Nicolas Cage and Forest Whitaker both, I think it's their first movies, right? It's their first
Correct.
appearance. Yeah, this had
Correct.
Forest Whitaker before he was cross-eyed, so had to be his first one.
Charles Jefferson.
Yeah, I'll give it
Forest
I'm gonna give it a
Whitaker.
solid 8.4. I think that's one of my highest, next to Rogue One, which was a
That's
perfect
quality
movie.
score, Brad. You're not dumbing it down at all with that. That's a good score.
Yeah, 8.4.
Shaggy, what do you
I'll
got?
say, I know we always talk about, oh, the quotable, yeah, all that. My biggest thing is, like, back when, like, TNT would have get movies for guys like movies. Like, would this be one of those movies where no matter what year it's on, whenever it's on, I'll sit down and watch it. And, yeah, this is one of those movies where I'll definitely sit down every time it's on and watch it. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like, whenever you hear that song from the cars, you'd be driving down the street. You got a smirk on your face. It's the first thing that comes to your head. I think my favorite character is Mr. Hand, actually. I love that friggin' guy.
Aloha.
Aloha, yeah. Even with all my smart ass teachers, at first you're like, this guy's a dick. And then as you get older, you're like, I can't relate to this guy.
He does call him a dick in that movie.
He does call him, you're
He
a
does.
dick. Yeah.
It's like,
Highly
oh, I left
quotable.
that textbook in my locker, Mr. Hand. Oh, it's a good thing I brought it.
I'm like in the same boat. Oh, go ahead. What?
Quotable for days.
Yeah.
That movie's not only quotable, it's t-shirt quotable.
Oh yeah.
Correct. I have
Oh
one. I have one. Yep. So what do you got, Shaggy? What do you got for a
I'll
score?
say my score is about the same level you guys are. I'd say like 8-7.
Nice. Nice. Thomas, you have the floor.
All right, first off, number one fan Darren gave it an 8. He said it brought him back to the days when he used to roam the malls in North Dartmouth and But I thought it was a good movie. It's based off a screenplay by Cameron Crowe, and he actually went undercover at Claremont High School, and that's what he wrote the screenplay on, was his experiences there. At the cast was awesome, like you guys said. I mean, Sean Penn, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Judd Reinhold, Phoebe Cates, Robert Romanus, who was in a darn back in the 80s, he was in all those 80s campy movies, B movies that I'm a king of. I used to watch all those things back then. But I thought it was interesting reading when I read the thing. Nicolas Cage actually tried out for the role of Brad, and they told him he was too old for the role. So he actually got the role of, I think he was, what is he, one of the pizza guys or something. But Anthony Edwards was also in the movie. That was his one of his first roles. But the soundtrack itself was awesome with Oingo Boingo, Sammy Hagar, Joe Walsh. I mean, all the Eagles basically had solo songs on the thing. Billy Squier was on there. I'm gonna give it. I'm changing my score because I just looked back and I have to give it a higher score than Rogue One. I'm going with an 8.5.
Solid score, Tom. Solid
Solid
score.
score.
I thought
From
that
the
movie was
professor,
doing
solid score.
10.1.
So let me wrap this up. Where do I start with this movie? This movie
Beginning.
is phenomenal. If you're sitting there in the theater and you hear that Go-Go song come on with that montage of going through the mall in the beginning, it brings you right to that time. That song, you might not like that song. We got the beat, but it fits that opening to that. It just sets the tone for the whole movie. The soundtrack, killer soundtrack. They use every song in that movie at the right time. It's like they went over it with a fine-tooth comb. With he's washing the car, and they're playing Raised on the Radio. The part with Nancy Wilson in the car, where he's got the Captain Hook fish and chip stuff on, and she pulls up, and he doesn't realize he's dressed like that. And she's laughing at him, and he doesn't realize that she's laughing at him because of what he's got on. I mean, there's so many things in that movie. My old man's a TV repair man when they get in the accident. Charles Jefferson, a little brother for Earth, Wind, and Fire. The stuff with Damone, the stuff in the mall, the stuff with the girls. I mean, it's unbelievable. This movie has got everything I like about that style of movie in it. I know it's my pick for next week. So before that, I'm going to give you my score. My score for me, 8.9. 8.9, because I love this movie so much. I have a movie poster, a t-shirt. Jessica Lilley is my favorite movie character almost of all time, probably top three, but I hate Sean Penn. I'm with you, Brad, on that one. I cannot stand Sean Penn. But that just goes to show you how much I like that character because I can't stand him. That Wide World of Sports moment when he's dreaming and he's with Stu Nahan. Where'd you get this jacket? Oh, the network gave me this jacket. Oh, fantastic. I mean, I could almost quote the movie word for word by watching it. It's ingrained in my memory. Seen it probably, I don't know, 50 times, easily 50 times. I was telling these guys before we went on the air, it's a movie that when they used to show movies on network TV, they would cut out parts and add parts into movies. This movie is not a full movie. There are at least a half an hour of edited scenes that they put into the TV version. It's the only movie that I ever recorded the TV version, took the regular movie version, and put those parts into the movie so I could watch the full movie on VHS. It is just, to me, one of the favorite comedies of all time. If you even want to call it that, it's got a little bit of drama to it too. So 8.9 for me. Don't know what we're doing next week for a best of episode for episode 100, but my pick for the next time we review movies is, you know what it's going to be. You know, I can already see it. Look at Shaggy. I know what the fandom's already smirking. You know what it is. One of the greatest sports movies of all time. Slapshot. You gotta let's go. It's up there with me with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Super quotable. Let's go. Great characters in that movie. Funny as fuck. So yeah.
Where do I even find that
We can all send you a copy.
You're actually
fucking
gonna like coffee after watching this movie.
Oh,
What the fuck?
this is the best.
Brad,
It is absolutely
you'll love it, Brad. It's a great movie.
I'm gonna eat this movie up.
You will.
This
It's great, man.
it's fantastic.
I'm
It's
gonna take notes. Spare your feelings. I'm gonna eat this movie up.
this is a much you got to watch it though, Brad. Yeah,
Oh, I'm
when
gonna
we
watch it.
okay, all right,
I'm gonna
Paul
give it the old
Newman.
Rogue One treatment.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
Ring it. That's why we're doing it, because it's good for banter.
there's a lot of lore in this one, buddy. A
it's a lot of
lot
lore.
of
So, Professor, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, what do we have for our final score?
Before I give you the final score, I don't know if you guys knew this, but they did a charity thing back when COVID hit. It was over the internet, and they did a table read of this, and some of the people and what they played in the role. Brad Pitt played Brad. The only guy from the original movie that did it was Sean Penn. He played the pizza guy. Shia LaBeouf played Spicoli. John Legend played Charles Jefferson and Little Charles. So it was. But overall, we got group score 8.5.
8.5. I'm gonna write that down. Not bad, not quality score, right?
Well, I mean, we're grading hard, you know.
It's a must own. If you're a movie collector, it is a must own. I wouldn't say it was in my top 10, but it's very close to my top 10 favorite movies of all time. It's definitely in the top 20, but I don't know if it would crack that top 10. Trying to
It's
be.
funny. It's funny when you're throwing like comedies into the mix, because there's a lot of movies that you watch. It's like serious content or whatever, and when you're watching a comedy, no matter how much you love it, tough to throw a comedy up in those nines unless you. I mean, I guess if you're rolling on the floor laughing, but still, it's a different. You get a different feeling coming away from watching anything that's supposed to give you a laugh over something that's like. Got some detail to it, or like something that's like legit.
Yeah, I think if we're kind of creating a grading scale, if anything over an eight, I would say would be in your movie collection. I would imagine
Oh,
if you pretty much look at it like that, it, kind of base it on that. So, yeah, we'll come back with Slapshot, and we're gonna move on and talk a little pro wrestling with Bradford. Brad, bring us up to speed.
We are officially, I think, 30 days out or so, 1 month out from the start of the road to WrestleMania. We are right around the corner. We're waiting for Netflix to host Raw for the first time. That's coming up this Monday. SmackDown moved to 3 hours. And I'll
Too
be honest
much.
with you,
Too much.
I don't know if I can handle 3 hours
Too
on
much.
Monday, 3 hours on Friday.
Too much.
And NXT on a Tuesday. When they made that announcement, I looked at my wife and we were both like, we can't do it. But anyway, not a whole lot because they're treating this Monday night debut on Netflix as kind of like a miniature PLE. So there's tons of great matches coming up. Oddly enough, Cody Rhodes doesn't have a match defending his title. I guess they're saving that for the actual Royal Rumble. I think John Cena is supposed to make an appearance. At least that's going to be his kickoff to his farewell tour. The biggest thing that's been happening lately, we talked about in the group chat, they have been cutting some phenomenal promos between Cody and Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins and CM Punk. Roman Reigns kind of fell off again. I don't know where he's at. We haven't seen him since that last PLE Survivor Series. But anyway, huge. Change of a title on SmackDown on Friday night. Tiffy Stratton finally cashed in. It's Tiffy time. The way they wrote this, the way they booked it was super fun. It was entertaining. She almost had a couple of wardrobe malfunctions in the process. How can you not get behind that? It was entertaining. The crowd was on their feet. That was bigger than their actual main event. I feel like on Friday night, which was just like the old bloodline versus the new bloodline again. Nobody gives a shit about that. But so Tiffy Stratton, she's the new SmackDown champion. It's pretty awesome. She finally cashed in. That's it. Wait until Monday night.
I wanted to bring up a point of a stat that I heard wrestling related. So think about this. There was very few Saturday night's main events back in the day that aired at prime time hour of 8 o'clock. It was always to replace Saturday Night Live. One of the Saturday night's main events that aired at 8 o'clock was the Hogan Andre rematch from WrestleMania. That was with the two referee, two Hebners, where they did the switch. Do you know that that was watched by 32 million people, where AEW draws right now 300,000 people to watch a show? So 32 million people is the most watched wrestling primetime show in the history of pro wrestling. 32 million people turned in to watch that match. The most watched cable televised wrestling event was the very first Clash of the Champions with Sting versus Ric Flair for the very first time. 9 million people watched that on TBS. So just think about that compared to modern day wrestling, how many people were into wrestling at that time and how much of a drop off since. And there's a reason for it. I don't want to hear the screaming. I don't want to hear other options. If something's live, like whether it's football or we love to watch, World Juniors or live events, so you don't miss anything. Just think about that. 32 million people watched NBC on a Saturday night, which is a prime night for going out. That actual rematch of Hogan and Andre, and it blew my mind when I heard that stat as a wrestling fan and maybe a little historian too. It's just, what do you think, Tom, on with that stat compared to how it is now?
It is pretty incredible. I mean, nowadays there's more ways to watch it, so that's what makes it more like mind-blowing what the rating actually was.
That when you think about must-watch TV, 32 million people tuning in to watch an event. Does the Super Bowl even get 32 million people to watch it?
That was 10% of the population of the United States that watched it.
Imagine that. In like 87, 88, because both of those events, even the one with Sting and Flair, that was the very first time that they had ever wrestled each other. They saved it for that build up for that first Clash of Champions. It's mind blowing. 9 million people, even that on a offshoot cable channel, it's crazy. You can't even get that for, big events now. So I just wanted to add that to the wrestling talk this week, just to kind of put things in perspective where how things were then compared to now. And I don't know what's missing to draw that kind of, even let's forget 32 million people, let's take 9 million. What would it take to get 9 million people to watch wrestling on a Saturday Night Live?
But let's not forget too, Andy, though, to play like a little devil's advocate here. Back then, your options of what you could watch were so limited. So and now it's like everybody's got a sports package. If you got a team, you watch all their games. It the whole landscape of how people watch television. So if you just had at that time, everybody just had regular cable. So you're limited to your network channels, TBS. 50 channels, 56 for us, especially in the 80s. So I think that probably plays a lot into it. You just had way less options, or back then, how many people had DVD players? How many people had a collection full of movies? I know you did, but I mean, in
I
as a
was wanting
whole,
it.
people just didn't have you didn't have the video games like you got now. I think people are a lot more occupied with what they use for the time, or just how many idiots are just like this all day long. I can't make it through a whole regular TV show without looking at my phone 30 times, It's
Yeah.
Well, that's because the feed's
I don't
always blowing.
like
That's why.
what's that, Ed?
I said that's because our feed's always blowing
Yeah. It's good this week.
Yeah.
That's because I'm home, though.
I'm gonna step in here on this one. Honestly, to be quite honest with you, it's the talent. Yeah, honestly, like you can have all the pyrotechnics, you can have all the bells and whistles, all that you want. But the thing about it is that, and I'm going to tell it right now, there's nobody nowadays that can talk like Ric Flair. Nobody can talk like
Jake Snake.
the Hitman and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They can't talk like them. Nobody can talk like The Rock, Stone Cold. Like, you know what I mean? No, they can't hold an audience like that. Even the vignettes, they're bad. Like even the 20-second promo, it's like, I mean, come on, guys. Like that's all you got? Like you have all these writers and everything like that. I mean, think about this. Half the wrestlers that work for, NWA slash WCW, they were the talent, but they also were the writers. these guys can't talk on the mic. They're not that good. So you're gonna, and you know, I'll agree with Ryan's point. Yeah, are there more options? Same thing with Tom. Are there more options? Yes. However, they're not that good. They're not that good. They don't have, they don't capture the audience like D-Generation X. I mean, Shaggy, you and I skipped class to go to Boston. We
Exactly.
skipped class to go see them invade Boston City Hall Plaza.
Right. Well, I'd say these guys are definitely more athletic than the guys back then. But yeah, they
For
don't
sure, yeah.
captivate me. They do the little promos, and it's like I'm not even paying attention. Like I can't get into it. Like I used to be at the edge of my seat listening. Like when Jake the Snake would whisper, I'd be like leaning in trying to hear him. Like, what's he actually talking about? Now I'm like, eh, whatever.
Don't forget too, guys, the oversaturation of wrestling too.
That's
So now you're
true.
looking at 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday. If you
That's
watch
true.
AEW, you got it on Wednesday. So you're watching wrestling every day during the week. We used to watch wrestling on Saturday morning, and then it hit us with a prime time, and you'd be all gassed up
Right.
to watch it because that's the only wrestling you were getting to see. So you're looking at only 2 hours
Yep.
to see. And Hulk Hogan wasn't wrestling on Saturday night on, I mean, on wrestling superstars in the afternoon.
Right.
So if you wanted to see Hulk Hogan, who at the time, if we're talking WWF, he was the draw.
Yeah.
He never wrestled on any regular TV shows. Ric Flair used to, but WWF did things a little bit different. He was a marquee guy. You almost had to pay if you wanted to see him or catch him. If say your parents were cheap and they weren't buying you no pay-per-views, they shoot you one of those Saturday night main events for free. That was your pay-per-view if you were a poor kid, because your parents, if you didn't have the black box, you weren't seeing it. So I think that's a huge part of it as well.
Yeah, don't forget too, Ryan, let's talk about a little history timeline. Up until like the Hogan thing, the boom with what Vince did, before that, you got 1 hour of WWF once a week, 1 hour after cartoons from 11 to 12, 1 hour. Either caught it on channel 6 or 56. It was the same show, just on two different channels, not at the same time. If you missed it, you could watch it out. I think 1 to 2. That's all you got. And those angles and those promos were driven just for that market for you to go to the Civic Center and go to Boston Garden. That was it. And if they came any closer than that, it was like an oh shit moment. If they come to New Bedford High, so.
Well, don't forget too, it was all just straight squash matches.
And not
So
everybody had an
you
angle.
never got to see anybody good fight against anybody good. You got
Right.
to watch them wipe the floor with somebody. So the opportunity to see somebody like fight two good guys fighting against each other was like, oh fuck! Like, you never get to see it. So
Right.
the whole landscape of how wrestling was back then to now is it's so tough to balance out of why or how come, but there's a lot of intangibles here.
Or you could watch AWA on ESPN on ESPN. And you'd see the fabulous Freebirds wrestle the Von Erichs.
You know what's funny, though? You could watch that old AWA. The stuff we were watching on ESPN was probably like fucking 6 months old. Because you'd get the wrestling magazines, which how long does it take to put one of those out? And I'm sure the day we were buying it wasn't the day it hit the shelf. And then you put on AEW wrestling, and the stuff that's in the magazine is what's happening on TV 6 months on delay.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy how much it's changed, and I think somewhere we've always had this conversation come up all the time, and it'll pop up every now and then when the wrestling stuff heats up, that somewhere between how it was and how it is, they gotta find a way to bring it back to something. Not everybody on your roster has to have a storyline going on or a conflict. Just put them on, let them wrestle, get a win, get a loss. You've seen them on TV. Not everybody has to be in a storyline. It's like if it's not revolving around a title or somebody you're trying to push, why even have them on the roster if that's why have 90 guys on your roster for 3 hours when 1 hour with an epic show would keep people's interest? That's just my two cents with that. But the wrestling stuff will heat up because it is coming in. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Well, I just one more wrestling note. I just remembered popped in the back of my head here. I don't know if you guys, how many of you guys would know who this is, but there was a death in the old wrestling world. Sweet Daddy Sickey, who trained, he was more well known because he trained Edge and Christian,
But he, I looking into him after I saw he had passed away. He was a tag team champion with Haystacks Calhoun. He won the NWA, different back then. They had different variations of it. He was the NWA Hawaii heavyweight champion, but he passed away due to Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to bring it up, but I didn't know if it was going to be like crickets chirping when I brought it up. So yeah, one of the older black wrestlers from the 1950s, 60s, early 70s. Yeah, passed this week. But what I was going to say is it's going into that road to WrestleMania season, which is, are they a Hall of Famer or not a Hall of Famer season with our boy the Phantom? We love to tear up the Hall of Fame. So that will be heating up. And I mentioned it either last week or the week before. The hopefully the stuff on Vice will be popping up so we can review that for the Dark Side. Usually pops up around the WrestleMania time. So keep an eye on that. And we'll wrap up the wrestling talk for this week and move on to the sports. But you know, we start the sports. We always start the sports with Tom Shitty Picks. Take it away there, Professor.
Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by the Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So I did four picks last week. It was a college playoffs, and I went 3 for 4. I lost the Oregon game. That was a total blowout. I totally misread that, but I did have the Notre Dame Georgia game. I'm still going with my championship pick. I'm still picking Texas over Notre Dame in the finals.
Thomas, so bring us up to speed on the NFL, and then we'll let you guys have your college football rant. Brad's got tears coming to his eyes. He knows who to acknowledge. Let's have it.
All right, Andy, you got to give your daughter a pep talk because her picks this past week, you let everybody catch up to you. You
No.
went this past week, Ryan, Brad, and myself went 13-3. Ed went 11-5, and Andy and Shaggy both went 9-7. So you had a 5-game lead, and it's now a 1-game lead over the Phantom. Andy, you're 179-77. Ryan is 178-78. I'm 175-81. Ed is 174-82. Brad's 173-83, and Shaggy is 138-97.
I'm still in the lead though. By one
For
game?
now.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. Not bad. I have not watched not one game, so I'm good with that.
Me
Even if I
either.
finish second, it's a silver medal. So I'm still doing better than Team Canada, I'll tell you
It's
that.
a participation trophy.
Nah, that's like fourth. It's gold, silver, bronze, and then, Special Olympics after that.
Guess that's where I get my name, Special Ed, from, huh?
Yep, you need the boxing headgear like when they shave Buddy Roberts' head. So, Bradford, let's talk some college football. You guys want to bring us up to speed on the bowl fallout?
The main thing that I want to talk about is I think every team that had a bye week lost their playoff. There's definitely the NIL and transfer portal has definitely added a shit ton of parity to college football. And I saw a quote that said, now that other teams can legally pay their players, Alabama and Georgia got fucking knocked out. I thought that was hilarious. Also, Alabama lost to Michigan in the same fucking year, twice in a playoff game. And, they lost to them last year and they lost to them this year. So, both in 2024. So that was hilarious. But college football, the playoffs, I don't know. It is what it is. We've talked about it. We beat it to death. They got to fix it. This was the first year with 12 teams. You can't make it just about wins and losses. Case in point, I'm an Ole Miss guy. I love my Ole Miss Rebels. We played a 9-3 Duke, and they were not ready. You cannot just make it about the wins and loss record, man. They've got to add something, another stipulation. And I'm not saying if Ole Miss went into these playoffs, that they would have beat whoever or whatever. I don't know. And the fact is, if you want to make it to the playoff, despite how tough your schedule may or may not be, you got to fucking win. You can't go drop three games and then expect to make a playoff. You can't. So, it is what it is. I think they got a lot of kinks to work out, man. And we'll see how it goes next year. But I thought it was interesting. Ed, wasn't last year Florida State got snubbed because their quarterback was injured? And then this year, Georgia's quarterback was injured and they didn't get snubbed. They got a free pass. I don't know. It's weird. The playoff committee is so inconsistent. I think that is what is most frustrating for the fans. This shit never fucking makes sense. Just be consistent. Year to year, make the same decisions year to year.
Well, it isn't consistent, though. That's the thing. So here's my take. First and foremost, are there probably I feel like that there was an attempt to actually solve it on the field. So that was mission accomplished, okay, for this year. Okay. Do I think that some of these teams have an easier route to go to than other teams? Yes, they do. Now, and I mean, because the thing about this is like if you remember, I mean, Oregon beat Ohio State and Ohio State stomped Oregon, okay? And then the thing about it was is that if you looked at, and I mean, I will eat some crow on this because I really didn't think that Notre Dame was going to be as good as they were, and
No, I didn't either.
they beat a good Georgia team. Now that's not a bad Georgia team. And then I thought Boise State hung in there pretty well against Penn State. I don't think that they were embarrassed. I thought the best game out of all of them was the Arizona State Texas game, and the one thing that really does a that non-penalty that they didn't call on targeting is targeting. Look, and I'm all about guys playing football, but that was targeting, and I kind of was like, it kind of seems like that they want the bigger school that has to make it to the next level by not throwing that flag. Great, exciting game. I mean, I've watched it. I was listening to it on the radio for the first three quarters and then watched the whole fourth quarter and all the overtimes. It was great. Brad, to your piece about the NIL, you're absolutely correct. I think that this whole transferring thing before now, here's the problem though, is that the thing is like these kids are breaking a legally binding contract with the university when they go somewhere else. So they're leaving. So the reason why the portal has to open and close when it does, because that is the end of the semester, and they're not going to be allowed to stay there for free, under scholarship. Okay. So there has to be. So I hear that point. My thing about it is that, the reason why Duke, I think, got their the brakes beat off of them was due to the fact that their quarterback is transferring out. They lost one of the best players in college football. So there have like all these teams losing their players and teams not sitting, players sitting and what that type of thing. And Tom, I know your favorite coach of the year. None of his players sat though. They all played. And so I just think that well, just making a point though. But they showed up to play, So I think that there's going to be have to have some problems that need to be solved, and it's going to take some time. And that the committee, they need to put something back on the computer where the computer actually solves a little bit more of it and that type of thing. But I mean, I really was very happy with Boise State because they hung in there, and it looked like that they were going to get stomped. Boys.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Tom. You want to jump in? Go ahead.
No, I think if they want to keep the way it is with if you want guys to be able to leave for NIL, I think you should. I don't want to say penalize them, but do like you used to do, make them sit out a year. Maybe that'll make them think twice, and they'll have to weigh whether or not the money's worth sitting out a year. Make them actually have a decision to make, because I think right now a lot of these, it's making it's. I mean, most people would make the decision they are. But it's still, I think, for maybe it'll keep the competitive balance a little bit better is if some guys actually stay. Make them sit out. Is it worth it sitting out a year, or are they going to come back? That's my two cents.
Tom, I got a question for you because I don't know if you heard this or not, but you do know. Did you know that, like, if they go into the portal, they're automatically out from the school that they're at?
Yes.
Okay, because I
Yep.
mean, and that's the thing about it, is like a lot of these guys that are going into the portal, they're not being picked up. And that's a problem right there. You know what I mean? So there needs to be some sort of regulation. I'd have to say not the NCAA, maybe somebody like Saban or something like that that kind of oversees it and that type of thing, and has some sort of administrator where Saban is kind of like the one that's the head of it, but also have somebody that does the administration stuff, that on how to figure out the books part of it. That's my thought. Tom, what do you think about that?
I think they've got to definitely do something. And I think it's funny because the guy that took over the NCAA was Massachusetts' old governor, Baker, Charlie Baker. I think he's already had enough of it. He's talking about coming back and running for Senate in Massachusetts. So I think he's had actually had enough. I think he's ready to jump ship on that. But they've got to do something with it because it's ridiculous with how many guys. I mean, you literally had a team had to back out of a bowl game because they didn't have enough players. They had too many guys enter the portal.
Yeah,
I
Marshall.
mean, they have to do something.
Marshall, yeah. Well, say I don't know if they should sit out a year, but definitely if you're getting committed to go to another school, you should have to stay for 2 years. You can't just be showing for a year, playing for a season, and taking off. Like they should at least make you stay for 2 years. If you skip a year, that's a year in your prime. You know, at your age, you're in your prime to play. So I don't know if that would be the answer. And as the bowl games go, yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they don't use like some kind of system where the strength of schedule is something like Christ up here, they use that for a state high school. Why can't they use that for NCAA?
I think part of the problem too is like, I wouldn't even really care if they did it the way that they do it now, as long as they rank the top teams.
Yeah.
If they did it like they do basketball, like there's teams that make it into the basketball field by winning their championship, but they're the bottom seed. So then, all right, you won your shit division, but now you got to play number one and number two, a
Yeah.
legit top, so the top teams got eliminated this year, but they weren't really the fucking top team. So it was kind of garbage going right into it. So as far as like the NIL goes, hey, I think if those kids they want to get in the portal and they don't get picked up, then fuck them. That's their own fault. Obviously they're in school to play sports. They're not in school to get an education. So if you're not in school to get an education, and you don't get picked up, then you should have to go to junior college or community college like anybody else would have to do.
So
Your
fuck them.
priorities are in the
That's
wrong
why,
spot. Fuck them. Fuck them.
But they're sticking to his side. Let him
as
know
Dave
you're there.
Chappelle would say, so fuck them. That's why.
Another see the
One
last chance, you. Woo!
other sad note about the playoffs, and it just came out. I just saw it today, but everything that happened in New Orleans. Well, the coach for Georgia, Kirby Smart, his dad fell on New Year's Eve, and fractured his hip and went into the hospital for surgery. He ended up passing away from complications from the surgery. So that's
Damn.
a
a
Yeah.
pretty tough weekend for Kirby Smart in Georgia.
That escalated quickly. It's not where I thought you were
Yeah.
going with that.
Well, that's a great segue to your segue, Brad. So they call it
Segways.
So, while we're still on the sports talk, did you guys want to bring up the subject you were talking about in the group chat about the Eric Dickerson record?
Yes. Yes.
Banter?
Yeah, it's like this is a good one, boys, because it's like I want to know where you guys fall on this. It's like there's two different perspectives here. If you're the player, if you're the coach. So we'll start off with, if you're the coach, are you letting your best player try to break an all-time record, or are you going to make him sit so you can have playoff success, hopefully? For
No, break the
me,
record.
I'm letting my guy play, because as a player, gonna sound selfish. It's gonna sound like I'm about the back of the jersey more than the front of the jersey. You know me, AC. I'd rather be the all-time leading rusher for a season than win a championship. I'd rather go my whole career and not win a championship and have that rushing record.
Well, I have two things on this one. First, I think that even if he had played and broke the record, to me, there'd be an asterisk because he did it in one more game than Dickerson.
Yeah, but hold
Dickerson did
on,
it in
Tom.
what?
When Dickerson broke the record, he broke OJ's record, and OJ only played 14 games, so he shouldn't have the record
That's
either.
true. That's true. But my other thing is look what happened today to Zay Flowers, and he played for, I won't say for no reason, but he possibly blew his knee out. He missed the second half of the game, and
Oh,
he
he's
missed the
done.
playoffs.
Yeah,
he's
I didn't
done.
see that. He's done.
Yeah.
He's
Yeah.
done. That's
So
a total deal.
it's risk reward. So if I was, I to me, I, championship. I'm all about the championship. So I would have sat.
I see Shaggy shaking his head. Yes.
I'll say, yeah, I'm definitely a we versus me over me guy kind of guy. So I'm like, if it was a team like 8-8 and not making playoffs, fuck yeah, go get it. Get what you need to do. But if we got a chance to win a championship, I need you to rest a week. Get ready for the playoffs.
Bradford.
What Shaggy said. Now, if Saquon was doing this in 14, 15, 16 games, I would say by all means you play that week 14, 15, 16. Going into week 17, game is meaningless. The Eagles probably have the best shot in not just winning the NFC, but winning a Super Bowl. This team is their defense very quietly has played phenomenally well since their bye week. They have like shut teams down since their bye week. They have everybody's healthy. DeVonta Smith, AJ Brown are all healthy. Saquon is healthy. Jalen Hurts is going to be out of concussion protocol. Rest your guys. Treat it as a bye week. Keep playing Kenny Pickett or whatever the hell his name is. Rest your big time offseason investment that you basically vultured from the Giants. Rest them. And like Tom said, man, there should be an asterisk there if he does break it.
Ed.
Yeah, don't hold on, Ed. Don't forget too, the game that they're playing, the Eagles are playing against the Giants, the team that didn't fucking want them. Don't you want to fucking break that record of
It's a
Florida?
revenge game.
Oh,
That
come on, boys,
you
let's
can't
go.
script it
I'm
any better.
fucking
You
up up
can't
about
script it
50.
any better.
Didn't you like hurdle over one of them already?
I can't stand Sirianni as a coach, but I was just looking and he had. But Barkley had six games this year. We had where he had less than 20 carries, so he should already have the record in my
Yep.
eyes. That's
Yep.
all on Sirianni for not running the ball.
Ed, I'm going to ask you this question. Stop being a bitch. We versus me.
And I'm going to waffle. I'm going to just say
Woo!
it like I'm just going to say it like this. Look, I think I'm pretty much a wee guy, but I'm going to say this. I would want to play because it was the Giants, and I'd want to roll those fuckers. Like,
They
coach,
still could.
give me the ball 40 times. They didn't
Well,
want me. Give me the ball 40 times. And the thing about it is, it is football. And this whole thing about player safety shenanigans and all this other stuff. Oh, okay, it's about player safety and all this stuff. Why did you add another game? You know, you want player safety, you know, or we change the kickoff and everything like that, but then you add another game. So stop. And the thing about it is that honestly, it's one of those things where it really should be up to the player. Like, and you know, they're because of where they are with their record, man, all of their starters should sit. And to take Tom's point about Flowers, dude, I'm only a certified personal trainer, not a certified athletic trainer like the person below me on the screen here, but it's a blown ACL. Flowers blew it out. And you know, I want a ring. And you know, and this is the clearest path to get your ring by sitting.
They may already be without Hurts. He's still in concussion protocol. There's no guarantee he's going to play.
Oh, I'll guarantee
Ed,
it.
why would you want to ring again after the first one didn't work out?
Oh, good point. Touche, pussycat.
Come on, man. Come on.
Touche, pussycat.
Come on. Speaking of, we'll segue a we versus me type thing. I want to ask the Phantom, World Juniors, Canada. Should we all rise for the singing of the Canadian national anthem?
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
Ooh, how fantastic was that?
Solid.
It's kind of it's crazy that it happened 2 years in a row. But they built their team this year the way they built their team last year. I can't understand how you have guys that were in older players that are going to age out. So this is their last year of eligibility that were top 10 picks in the NHL draft, and you don't take them. And they're having big years, so there's something to it. I saw a video. This is my conspiracy theory for Brad. A little hockey action here. That they were saying that back in the day with Canada, everybody was playing. Now the landscape has changed. It's a money thing. So all the guys that are making these teams are the guys that the parents got money. They've been on all these programs. They've gone to all these camps. Then it comes time to pick teams. This guy wasn't my guy. I'm taking all my players that I've coached up before or whatever, but it's wild that they're out in. They're blaming the refs, which they did have a shit ton of bad calls. But in the hit, I watch this thing every year. This is not the NHL. They call these games tight. So you almost can't go into it with like a bruiser grinding team. You might as well take your best players that you got, the most skilled guys. It's all about speed and skill. The guy, I mean, this is like a tournament for the scouts. So, I don't care how rough you play, it ain't gonna make you be a top 10 pick. You gotta show some skill in this thing. So, they're out, and where they're getting pushed out by teams that were at one time not even considered to be tops in the world. So, I don't know if the field's leveled out a bit, but they're Hockey Canada is they're in trouble.
So, how good did it make you feel to watch Canada get totally flexed on by the United States of America and sticking it in their face as it was happening? It was fantastic to watch.
But the cocky Americans can't beat
It was,
it.
speaking of we versus me, right?
Oh yeah.
That's it in a nutshell right there. So it's all big games from here on in for the rest of the tournament. So why don't we wrap up the sports talk, get on the bus to the Twilight Zone with a good friend Brad, one of my favorite segments. I love the deep dives. I am a
Oh,
big fan
Jesus
of the
Christ,
deep
look at
dive.
this hat.
All right.
Oh!
So,
Should have
Thomas,
told Tommy.
take us into the Twilight Zone, please.
Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you this week by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest living Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21. Off to you, Brad.
Yep. Get it on Amazon. That's how I got it. So, a lot of wacky stuff went down. A lot of wacky stuff went down on New Year's Day. I had tickets, free tickets, great seats to the Sugar Bowl, and we got canceled. We couldn't go because some nut job drove his truck down Bourbon Street and unfortunately, killed like 15 people. Simultaneously, another nut job blew up a Cybertruck in Las Vegas. In front of Trump Towers. Let's look at some weird coincidences between these three. Both drivers served in the U.S. Army. Both drivers rented their vehicles from a rental company called Turo or some shit. Never even heard of this company. What are the odds both crazies rent their vehicles from the same rental company when there's at least half a dozen or more rental car companies out there? Super weird. Both guys not only were Army vets, they were both at Fort Bragg. I don't know if they were at Fort Bragg the same time, but in the Army, Fort Bragg's pretty fucking big. Fort Campbell's also pretty freaking big, right? So saying, oh, well, they were both at Fort Bragg. I don't know. That's kind of a loose coincidence to me, but still, it's weird that they were both at Bragg. It's also weird that the guy Ryan Ruth that shot Trump at the golf or wanted to shoot Trump from the golf course allegedly visited Fort Bragg at least 100 times. He's not even in the dang military. So a lot of MK Ultra CIA mind control shit starts coming to mind, like some Manchurian candidates type stuff, right? You got Army vets at Fort Bragg where you have the 82nd, you have a lot of special forces shit going down on this base. It would be very easy to, kind of do some winter soldier shit and get those guys out to go do some stuff. Well, then I started looking not so much into this New Orleans one. That one was pretty cut and dry. I thought it was a little weird. There, Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, oh, this guy came across the border in Eagle Pass 2 days ago. And then, like, the FBI and CIA were like, well, no, he didn't. He's actually in the army. He's homegrown. Like, so tons of misinformation. And then I love the fact that they're like, oh, hey, he had an ISIS flag. Let's lay it on the ground and take a bunch of pictures of it. Like, shut up, dude. Like, I couldn't have like scripted, yeah, this conspiracy theory any better myself. Like they just like pulled out their notepad and they're like, oh shit, we gotta rush this together really quick. Put this out. But then you get to the Vegas one. Holy shit. Have you guys been watching and tracking what's been going on with this guy? Dude was a Green Beret, not just like any Green Beret, well known, respected within the community. Like people knew this guy. He had multiple contacts, like higher ups, across the board. Like dude was well known. He was on the History Channel with Tim Kennedy 10 or 12 years ago on a like special forces competition bullshit. He used a fake name, but it was that guy on the History Channel. So he's like already in like the mix of like well-known folks, right? Not only that, let's look at the facts. The body was burned beyond recognition. They could not identify the body. However, they found his military ID card. Like, what a soldier. That's like one thing we harp on, folks. Like, don't go anywhere. Don't lose your ID card. Dude remembered, hey, before I go bomb Trump Tower, I better have my ID with me. The ID card survived the blaze where his body and the vehicle were burned beyond recognition. He had his freaking passport with him, Andy. Like, are you kidding me? The same, look, build me a suit of armor made out of ID cards and passports, dog, because they will survive anything, right? 9/11, all they found of the terrorists were these damn passports scattered everywhere. Stupid. Tesla Cybertrucks, they can be programmed and self-driven. So now there's a lot of chatter that either this was a setup, like that body's not his. Also, spoiler alert, the DNA doesn't match the DNA of his kids. So that body, they don't know where that shit came from. It doesn't match the DNA of his family, right? So it's possible this truck was programmed and drove up there and then was remotely detonated, right? That's possible. That's one of the features that Tesla programs into their vehicles. Also, the dude shot himself with a 50 cal handgun. So the morgue, the official report is he was dead before the explosion, right? So now we're trying to figure out like how did this all go down? We have CCTV video of the truck before the explosion. If you shoot yourself, if you suck start a 50 cal, there's going to be signs, right? There's going to be a muzzle flash. Something is going to show on this video. None
You
of
won't
that
have a head
is
left.
visible. What's that?
You won't have a head left.
Yeah, but on CCTV, even with tinted windows and stuff, you're going to see a muzzle flash. There's going to be signs that a high-powered firearm was used. There's none of that, right? So tons of freaking questions, man. And the most odd thing about it, before all this went down, the Vegas Cybertruck guy sent an email to a bunch of other special forces operators. One of those went on the what's his name? Sean Ryan show, another podcast, and read the email. In the email, he says, I'm a whistleblower. The drones over Jersey are Chinese, and we did a bunch of messed up shit in Afghanistan. And I want to whistle blow because we killed hundreds and hundreds of civilians under my watch. And I cannot live with myself like this. So now it went from conspiracy of maybe he was MK Ultra or the CIA kind of used him as a fall guy and did all this bullshit to now he faked his own death and he whistle blew on a bunch of people. And now he's out here on the lam, probably running to Mexico or some shit. So nobody knows. All I know is the last thing I saw on Instagram before we came on the pod was that even the Sean Ryan Show podcast has like went into hiding. Like because of that last episode, that email, Sean started getting like emails from like DEA, CIA, like three letter agencies, like, and they were weird emails too. It wasn't like official like letterhead, like, hey, you have been summoned. It was like, hey bro, what's up? Can you holler at me? Can you text me or call me back? It was weird. So he's like, I'm out. So man, I think this is probably one of the most weird situations I've seen in a long time, man. And it's only getting weirder by the second. It's only getting weirder.
Shaggy, thoughts on this whole situation? I've seen you shaking your head a bunch of times.
Well, it just I read the same thing he read about that. It's yeah, I think it's just crazy. Like it's unreal. Like I don't really have an opinion. I just think it's like the blueprint. Like everything you used to see in like every conspiracy TV show. It's like, oh yeah, we saw that in like this movie and that movie. Like it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Bro, it's like we're living a Tom Clancy novel.
Yeah, exactly.
Ed, you want to weigh in at all?
It doesn't, none of it passes the smell test. Like, because I don't know if you guys saw it, but it hasn't been up on the interwebs for very much because I haven't seen very much of it. But they did find two. Let me rephrase it. They allegedly found two or more IEDs in the French Quarter the next day.
Yep.
And so the thing about it is that there's been a lot of ch there's been a lot of talk and a lot of the podcasts that deal with this talking about that there are kind of like what would be considered back in the old days as sleeper cells. And this in New Orleans, now think about this. If you planted, now I know that Shaggy's been there and I know Brad's been there to Bourbon Street. Look, when you watch Mardi Gras on TV, it looks like it's a really big place, but it's not. It's a tiny little place. And you put all of those people coming out of the Superdome in there, like the French Quarter gets packed and you touch off a couple of IEDs. And the thing about it is that they've been talking about on that on the Sean Ryan podcast about how they'd actually allegedly detonate those. And then when all EMS and everything else comes in, they detonate more and they have even more mass casualties.
That's why I didn't go to the Sugar Bowl, dude. I was
You
like, I'm
know?
not gonna get caught in a choke point or a bottleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like my thing about it is that and the thing is just like my question is this is that how come we're having so many people come out of the bases in Texas radicalized? Why are they
MK
radicalized?
Ultra.
Well, that could be part of it. And then all and so like my thing about it is just that, I mean, like it's just really sad to see all this stuff go down, What's the bigger part of this agenda? Like, is this to put us back in the cages again? Like what they did with COVID? Oh, we can't put you back in there because you won't believe the virus stuff again anymore. Well, now we'll do this, put you in there for your security.
I just thought the feds had watched our podcast and set this whole thing up because they knew I was coming to the Sugar Bowl and they were going to try to catch me in one of the choke points and plant some evidence on me so they could finally get me. They went to some great lengths, but I fooled them, fellas.
Brad,
And you
stay
can
home.
also hire the A team.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The thing that I was thinking about it, and it's like, all right, so you got these guys that are military trained. So you got a military trained guy, high end, but he's gonna drive a car and run people over. That's how he's gonna go about killing people. That
Weird.
don't make no sense to me. And even the other guy, all right, he's gonna go blow up his truck in front of Trump Tower. It's not like he set the fucking building on fire. It's like a symbolic explosion. Like, whatever, you're gonna kill a couple of innocent people that happen to be walking by in like the front. Like, you're not even really doing anything. Like,
It was a
Trump
bulletproof
Tower's about
vehicle
to
loaded down with fireworks, bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm like,
Wasn't doing shit.
if you're looking
But I'm
for
gonna
chaos and you're military trained,
yeah.
I think you probably pull off something a little better than, I feel bad for the families of the people that died. Don't get me wrong here, but like, I don't know. That's pretty novice to me. I don't know if that's a part of the plan just to make it look simple, but it's or just let the media run with it and without really having wipe out a lot of people, but it's kind of odd to me.
Didn't just happen in
Credit.
Germany last week too? Like something
Yep,
really,
the Christmas show, the Christmas festival. Yep.
Brad, I'm gonna ask you, don't you find that this is like the second time something really weird has happened in Vegas?
Only the second time?
Well,
No. No.
Like that you didn't have to pay for though.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yeah, but this was weird, but wasn't. I mean, we could commit a whole, dedicate a whole episode to the Vegas shootings. Like that's on a whole other tier of weird. This was weird. I think the guy faked his death. I think he whistleblew. I think he sent those emails out. I bet you that he probably has some more info, some more shit ready to be sent out. Mail, email, whatever, some correspondence, and I think homeboy is on the lam. That's what I think. I think he faked his death. The DNA doesn't even match his family. That's not him in that car. That he got that body. That's probably a homeless person.
Professor, what thoughts on the tinfoil hat segment this week?
I wore the hat on the wrong week, man, because I actually agree with everything Brad just said.
On standby, Tom. Put it on
Let's see,
standby.
I
Put
like
it back on
the
the helmet. I like
you
the
should have seen
tinfoil
me
toque.
5 minutes before the podcast. I'm using a stapler on this thing, trying to staple the shit to stay on the hat and.
Hey, listen,
Nice.
I got a tinfoil hat related question for the panel. Now, as older guys that grew up in the school system that we all grew up in, at including Brad, we'll throw him into the 50-something crowd. Listen, do you think that more things are coming out of that we are not all what we've trained to believe? Do you think that it's finally slowly turning that corner that we're becoming so educated that there's so much stuff behind the curtain and we're just finally getting a little glimpse here and there? What do you think, Brad? I'm going to start with you.
Well, yeah, man, with technology and the ease of information, the age of information, how quickly information spreads, how quickly false information and fake news can spread, right? At the same time, and now with you add the element of AI,
Hold
and there
on,
are
never on this podcast, though. Never
never
fake
on this
information.
podcast,
No.
but there are boomers out there that will take an AI generated photograph or AI generated media of some sort, a video clip or some written text, and it is clearly done by a bot. But the boomer can't distinguish between reality and AI, and they share it. So the script writers, they're dealing with a whole new level of how to write this shit in. And there's if they stick to the same old shit that they've done, since the dawn of time, like as fast as we could spread information, it doesn't work. Like we start asking questions. Like the Vegas shit happened with this Vegas army driver, and within minutes, people were already connecting the dots that him and the New Orleans guy were both at Fort Bragg, both army vets, both used the same rental car company, and they start connecting all those dots. So like with the age of information, man, like there's so much more out there. And I think really the truth is right in front of us, but every time we get presented with truth, we just get called conspiracy theorists. So it's like, and it's so easy to do that now. It is much easier now to call us conspiracy theorists because the conspiracies are so fucking wild. Back in the day, the conspiracy was, do aliens exist? Is the Loch Ness monster real? And now we're talking about government mind control programs to get them to go kill people. I think both Trump shooters were MK Ultra. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's fucking wild, man.
I'm going to ask everybody on the panel just to, before we wrap up this week's segment, what my original question, I'm going to ask Shaggy, do you think everything that we've been taught as regular guys growing up is all bullshit?
I don't think everything is, but yeah, I definitely think, like you said, you could peek behind the screen now. You can, same thing even Brad was saying with all the technologies like that. You could see a little more. Like you don't have to, you're not believing everything you see nowadays, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I mean, I don't think everything is, but yeah, there's definitely some stuff you can kind of be like, yeah, I call bullshit on that now. I don't feel like, oh, the government's here to protect me for everything. Like some of the shit, yeah, I definitely, yeah, exactly. Like I definitely think like this shit going on. I'm like, this is crazy. Oh,
Ed, what do you think? Truth or bullshit?
I think that it's 98 shades of gray, man. I mean, there's no black and white anymore. It's just different shades of gray.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I don't know. That's my answer. 98 shades of gray.
How about the Phantom? What do you think? I'm always good for a good discussion.
It's I'm high on the bullshit factor because everything is very, no matter what you believe, I think you're full of shit because I don't think anybody's getting the truth, whether it's if you're for or against any certain subject. The truth lies somewhere probably in the middle, but you're definitely going to get the strings pulled in one direction to really, really, even the stuff, it's like you fall into those algorithms of whatever you think. And they're gonna pump you with stuff that you already think. They're not trying to pump you with stuff opposite of what you think. They want to get you going hard in one direction. So you get everybody going this way, you get everybody else going that way. Whatever happens in the middle, nobody really gives a fuck about because it's you're so consumed with what you think is right, and both sides are probably completely wrong. It's a weird world we're living in now, and I don't think it's going to get any better. It's like even if people talk about news and you're getting your news, but news now is all opinion news. It's like it's the news on TV is like columnist style news. There's no Walter Cronkite that just said, "Oh shit, this just happened. I'm just going to read off a piece of paper like the bomb went off, this many people died, and they caught a guy, and a couple of months later, who knows? Back then it was probably just as crooked as it is now, but the media wasn't." The media was legit. Behind the scenes was crooked. Now, behind the scenes is crooked and the media is crooked too. So you're never going to get a solid story from anything.
Professor, what do you got?
I agree with what Ryan just said, and I think it's just going to get worse because I think the government's going to start clamping down on the internet and try to squeeze that. So you're getting less and less information out there. And to try to go back to the old, like the 50s and 40s, when you were just getting your news from one thing, the TV, and you couldn't get online to go online to get like the real stuff. I think you'll start seeing the government clamp down more.
I think me and Brad have talked about this before on the podcast. I think that the whole thing is just a bit one big sham because take somebody like Mark Zuckerberg. He's a self-made guy. Very few people get into that 1% on that dollar bill. The pyramid is, and there's a separation with that 1%. To get into that 1%, you have to come up with something like Facebook, something that's a game changer that there's no other way for you not to get into that top of the pyramid. And once you get there's going to be all kinds of stuff that you're going to see that nobody else is ever going to see. And that's why it's hidden right on the dollar bill, right there, right. And they've never changed it. It tells you right there, if you're not on that top part, you're just the average working Joe. They don't care how much money you got. If you're not in that top part with the all CNI, we're all just, whether you make $5 a week, or whether you make $500 million a week. If you're not in that top pot, you're seeing the same thing everybody else is seeing, and they give you, whether it was at the beginning when it was radio, then it was TV. I mean, they got you for 8 hours a day, and then they come home and they would blast you with whatever they wanted to show you, whether it's, what foods to buy or what TV shows to watch, and then they give you that narrative of how what the norm is. The norm isn't their norm. The norm is what you want. The masses at bay. They want everybody split. They don't want kumbaya. They want, everybody separated. If you think about it, in a grand scheme of things, wouldn't you want in a society everybody to be happy, peaceful? They don't want that. They want chaos. They want separation. They want Democrats and Republicans. What kind of system works like that? If you think about it, it's an evil system. It is an evil system because they feed you crap. You gotta find your way to good health. What kind of nation gives you crap to eat? Gives your kids crap to eat right from the rip. I mean, right from the 1950s with sugary cereals. I mean, it didn't catch up to everybody until like the 80s, but I mean, it's just nuts the way that the system works. I mean, you could work as hard as you want and retire with nothing. I mean, you could work your whole entire life at the same place and retire with nothing. That is asinine that you can't spend your last 20 years doing what you love or finding yourself. It's just sad that you got to create a podcast for other income. Well, I'm just waiting for it to, but that's just how the system's set up that you can't get 5 million views, but somebody that plays a video game and gets kids to watch it, they can live rent free for the rest of their life because they, it's all in the presentation. I think we're just in that bubble, and we're all cogs in the wheel. That's about it. So,
It's funny, Andy, how we were talking before about like the thing with like the wrestling. Not that this has anything to do with the wrestling, but at the time, like we said, you just had that little house show, little studio style show that came on, and you got your pay-per-view. News, same thing. You had to catch your news at, five, 7 o'clock or whatever. You got that, yeah, that midday news would come on, and it would have to be maybe be a repeat later on. Now people are walking around and they're consuming this shit all fucking day, 24 hours a day. And they're not getting it from legitimate sources. They're getting it from some donkey with a fucking that's watching all kinds of shit, and they're coming up with their own conclusions, whether it's one way or another. But it's wild. It's all consuming.
So what you're saying, Phantom, is if you want good news, you gotta watch the 1973 podcast.
Well, Gary, good news.
That too. No
Oh.
good news with good
Hey, I know you're a
news.
big fan of the puppets.
There's an M in front of that. There's an M in front of that. There's a difference between a puppet and a Muppet, and
Oh, here we go.
we're not bringing up the Alf conspiracy yet.
It's coming. It's
They
coming.
both got a hand up their ass.
Right, Ed.
Right.
So let's wrap up this week's episode. I thought it was fantastic. So Edwin, what do you got for a shout out this week other than not being a bitch?
Come on, man. All right, well, two things. Number one, I want to wish Brett happy birthday. He's getting even closer to being old, just like us. And then number two, is the tragedy that happened in New Orleans. It kind of is like near and dear to my heart, living in the landmass right next door for 15 years. Knew some people that were there. Matter of fact, if I do remember correctly, I did take care of one of the girls' moms when she came into the shop a few years ago. And terrible tragedy. And again, it's a terrible thing when you're supposed to be going out celebrating a new year and something like that happens, and it's just flat out wrong.
Shaggy, you're up.
I gotta follow that shit.
That's why I went
All
to you.
right. I don't know. After that, give a shout out to you. Hey, thanks for finally picking Slapshot. I can't wait.
It's either going to be next week or probably 2 weeks. Next week's the
Worries.
best of 100. Thomas, what do you got?
Want to give a shout out, and I hope he gets a good night of sleep. Michael Penix, quarterback for Atlanta. Drake London, Bijan Robinson. Tomorrow could be a very profitable day for me if they come through for me.
So what you're gonna say is you're gonna present it like this. When they win, you're gonna buy a shirt from the 1973 podcast.
Maybe. Unless my sister can
Allegedly.
make it.
Allegedly. Phantom, what do you got this week?
I am shouting out. Should have stayed watching the game, but my love for the boys. USA Hockey, going to the gold medal game, playing against Finland. It's kind of, you don't want to jinx it, but Finland knocked out Sweden. Sweden was undefeated, so they're looking good for gold right now. So we'll see.
Go for gold.
Go for gold.
Brad, without the tinfoil hat, what do you got this week?
Want to shout out my boy Chris. You haven't been on the podcast in forever, man. We miss you. He did hit me up on Facebook on my post about all the fishing I've been doing lately. So he is alive. He does exist. And he does know how to use his phone. So I'm assuming he messaged me on his phone, commented. So Chris, come back. We miss you, man. Do like a cooking with Chris, but like be topless or something. Make it
Ooh.
interesting.
Ooh, bare chest with Chris.
Oh,
So I'll wrap it up like this. So 99 episodes. Got all the boys on, chirping every week. Good therapy. It's like I was telling Shaggy beforehand, it's like sitting in your living room with the fellas with the game on and or wrestling on or watching a movie and you're just shooting the shit and eating pizza and having a few and so shout out to the boys. We do what we do and we all come together once a week and I think it's good on a lot of different levels. Do you agree or disagree?
I
Great. Great.
agree. Tom's killing me with that hat, dude.
Tommy, give him the profile. Tommy, give him a side shot.
Not yet. I'm gonna tomorrow next week I'll have more. I'm
Oh.
slowly becoming Randy Quaid.
Ooh, diddy
The tin helmet.
That's it. You look like Darth Vader.
diddy. All right, so from us to you, we'll see you next week in 100 episodes. Let's freaking go. Let's go.